Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, the leading podcast for residential service contractors, sponsored by Service Roundtable and hosted by David Heimer.
Hi, this is David Heimer. Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. Today I'm talking with Ryan St. Michel, owner of Grove Mechanical in Crookston, Minnesota. Crookston is in northwest Minnesota near the border of North Dakota, not far from Fargo and Grand Forks, with a population of about 7,500. Grove Mechanical was founded in 1978 by Ryan's grandfather. Ryan purchased the company from his uncle and has enjoyed strong growth ever since that acquisition. One of the things I'm particularly interested in hearing about is Ryan's unique and successful sales approach. We'll find out about that and we'll hear more about his business. So Ryan St. Michel, welcome to Profiles in Prosperity.
Hey, thanks, David.
I know it was a family business, but how did you end up working at Grove Mechanical and deciding that's where you wanted to spend your career?
I started working for my grandfather and my uncle when I was 13 because somebody needed to mow the lawn, and that just happened. I fit that part of the job. So I started working for them and did a lot of sheet metal work with my grandpa over the years in the sheet metal shop, and we did everything by hand. All of our layout and fabrication was done by hand back then.
And at some point, did you decide, hey, I like this, so I'm going to continue on with it?
No, it was quite the opposite at the time, actually. It was a summer job. I did not enjoy it, but I learned a lot over those years. So all through high school, I worked for my uncle. He taught me a ton of stuff, whether it was fabrication, the sales side. He really taught me a lot of things. I went off to college, sat in office for a couple of years and decided that that was not for me. So I was moving back to the area, and it was just, it's what I knew. So that's why I came back to that.
And when did you buy the business from your uncle?
February 1st of 2018.
And tell me about that. What was the impetus for that? How did it feel? Why did you decide to get the business yourself?
It was something that I worked for when I first came back to work for my uncle. We had discussed it, that that would be my end goal, would be that I would someday buy the company from him. We had ideas of how that would transpire, but we never really wrote anything down. So at that time of transfer, you know, we probably both had different ideas. So I guess I would definitely recommend that you write things down early.
So what you're saying is that when you joined the business, it would have been smoother if you had come to an agreement about how you had determined the valuation of the business, how you'd pay it out, at what point in time it would happen and all that.
Yeah, I just think that you should work backwards. And I recently realized that we should have an end goal and how we're going to get to that goal. But he was gracious enough to sell me the business, and we've just kind of ran with it ever since.
And have you had pretty good growth since then?
We have. So, you know, our first year in business, it's a lot of, I was a technician and thought that would be the easy part, would be running the business, and quickly realized that it probably wasn't the easiest part of owning a business. So we grew a little bit in the first couple of years, and then we've since experienced a little more rapid growth.
So tell me about your business now.
So as of currently, we have 10 employees, 6 field technicians. I currently run the sales side of it. We've really started concentrating on that ultimate home comfort for people.
You guys are in a relatively small town, Grove Mechanical, but you're not that far from Fargo and Grand Forks. So do you do business there as well, or are you more constrained than that?
We stay in our immediate market. We run about a 20-mile radius, which keeps us within kind of our state boundary.
Oh, okay. You don't do any business in Fargo or Grand Forks then?
We do not.
You know what the population is of that 20-mile radius?
Our county population is actually 30,757.
You guys are doing really well. I mean, 10 technicians, you must be one of the larger heating and air conditioning companies around, I would imagine.
In our immediate market, it is. We have 6 technicians, 10 team members.
Jim Henshaw told me you have a really unique consultative and successful sales process, and I'm really intrigued to hear about that. Would you tell me a little bit about it?
Years ago, when I first bought the business, if I would go and look at a job, I would either email or mail the proposal to the client or customer. I made a couple of mistakes doing that by sending one proposal to a customer that had 2 different prices in it. And I learned real quick that I'd better be in control of what's happening as far as giving the correct information. So we will go out and do our initial evaluation of the system of their home and what their needs are. Then typically the husband and wife come together to our office where we've created we use it for a training room, but it's also a sales room where we've tried to remove all distractions, telephones, clocks, things like that. We've removed from the room. And part of that was for me with a short attention span. I've got to stay focused. But I've also found that when we can take distractions out of the room, the prospective client can also concentrate on what we're working with. So.
Yeah, it's nice not to have a clock sitting there and they keep thinking about how, you know, the game's going to come on in half an hour.
I didn't realize it at first until I was sitting at a meeting with a salesman and I watched them continually look over my head at the clock. And then I realized I need to remove that distraction.
Yeah. I used to have a clock in my office just for the opposite reason, so that people would be cognizant of time and leave faster.
Yeah, our typical sales call within our office will be anywhere from an hour and a half, and I've gone all the way to 3 hours.
Wow.
Most of our time, we're building a relationship. We spend very little time actually talking about the equipment that they'll be buying. We go through and we talk about that, but it's amazing how many things that we all have in common, whether it's children, pets. We have a Springer Spaniel that stays in our office, and she's kind of like our mascot at this point. Everybody wants to see the dog.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a great mascot, and everybody loves dogs. So sort of give me an agenda of what happens. Start at the beginning. How do you guys come up with a time for them to come? How do you suggest it? So is the technician has gone out and said, hey, I think that this needs to be replaced. I'd like you to talk with Ryan. Or how does the initial sale discussion come about?
Most of our leads are tech turn leads. They'll recommend whether it's an upgrade, replacement, whatever their needs are. I will go out, do an initial evaluation. They come back. My wife will then set an appointment to come into our office, and we're not 8 to 5. So if it has to be 6 o'clock in the morning, I'll do 6 o'clock in the morning. And if it has to be 8 o'clock at night, that's what we'll do. We work around their schedule and not my schedule. Once they come in, we'll sit down, we'll go through some options.
What are their expectations about the time that it will take?
Angie does make them aware that typically they're a minimum of 1 hour, and then it will go as long as they want from that point.
All right. So then they come in, and what happens next?
So we'll sit down in our conference room. All of our proposals are done on paper. I know that's old school, but it works for us. So everything's done on paper. It gives me a chance to draw as far as how their heating system is going to be laid out. It really brings a visual representation that I need when I'm buying something. So I just kind of relay that back to the customer that I like to lay it out airflow wise, design wise. And then we will go over what their current system is. And we go from entry level all the way to top of the line equipment.
You mentioned that you guys find things in common. Is there a series of questions you use, or do you just start talking to them and, you know, the dog comes in and, you know, you chat about the dog? What's like the ice breaking stuff that you do?
A lot of that is when we do our initial walkthrough with the customer at their home. You know, you're building a relationship from the very first time you knock on their door until you're going back to go over the system with them after it's installed. So there's a lot of things that we have in common. Like I said, whether it's our children, our vehicles, our extracurricular hunting, fishing, following our kids' sports, we all have something in common. It's just funny how those bonds are built in a couple of hours.
Yeah, it's a really good technique. Okay, so then they come into the office. You sit down with them. Do you give them anything to drink or offer them coffee or sodas or anything like that?
We do. So in our room, we actually set it up with a refrigerator in there. We try and stay away from sodas, but we do offer waters, different coffees. It forced us to upgrade our coffee maker in our office to something that is a little flashier than what we had before.
Have you got a latte machine in there?
It is. I did a tour of A1 garage door, and Tommy said that you have to have something more than just a K-cup. So I took it to heart. I added it. I probably enjoy it more than others.
Yeah, that's really nice. I'm not sure how other people are, but I take my coffee rather seriously. I would look forward to coming into the sales room with, a cappuccino. That'd be great. So you offer them something to drink. Maybe you make a latte for them. And then you guys sit down and you start talking about what their needs are and the system options. Is that correct?
Correct. You know, in our part of the country, we obviously have cold temperatures, but we also have a lot of humidity in the summer. And that's really a big driver for ultimate comfort systems is the fact that we can dehumidify in the summer. Yeah. So we definitely work through all of what they can have. It doesn't mean they have to have it, but we give them all the options, whether it's single stage all the way to variable.
Yeah. And my guess is that you have a fairly high price point. You're selling top of the line Linux equipment. You're doing a consultative sales meeting. So you're giving people a lot of great information. Are you selling mostly high-end systems?
90% of our sales would be inverter systems with variable gas furnaces.
Yeah, that's good stuff. So closing rate on this?
Last year, we had a closing rate of 85%.
Wow, that's phenomenal. And no, I'm guessing nobody in your area does this, do they?
I don't know of anyone else that does it.
So typically, are they signing the agreement at the end of this meeting? Do they want to go home and think about it, or what happens?
We like to use a no pressure approach. I do not want buyer's remorse when we're there installing the system. So there's a lot of times where I invite them to go home, think about it, and then we'll talk about it the next day.
How often does that happen?
It's probably a 50-50, whether they want to just say, yes, we want to do it now, or they want to go home and think about it overnight. We don't like using a pressure tactic with anybody.
No, it's a nice approach, and it's professional, and it creates long-term relationships when you don't use a high-pressure technique. So good for you on that. What about options for people? How do you talk about options? Because you could be selling a low-end system, and traditionally what is recommended in sales is that you give people at least three options, you know, a good, better, best scenario. So what do you do as you're talking to them? Do you end up giving them that, or do you end up saying, you know, based on what we're saying, here's the choices you've made, here's the system that we would recommend? How does that work out?
When we present, we offer a total of five different high efficient gas furnaces. We'll have five to six different heat pumps, and then we'll offer air conditioning as well. But we primarily sell heat pumps, but we do an a la carte style. I don't do packages. We let them pick and choose and then just try and help guide them into what system's going to work best for them.
Okay. So do you sell a lot of indoor air quality as well?
Yes, we do. A few years ago, we really concentrated on our indoor air quality, where we'll test a home's indoor air quality and make suggestions from there. We find that as we're spending more time in our homes, it's definitely a valuable product to have.
Yeah. And I guess the customers are responding really well to that. I mean, I know that years ago, people were somewhat skeptical about indoor air quality, but sounds like they're much more receptive to it now.
They are. Well, we can remove from a home. I had two boys that played hockey. They would bring their hockey bags home. We would now know what the entire locker room smelled like, but in our own home. I wish some of these products would have been around back then.
My sons played soccer, and I remember I had half the soccer team in our minivan, and they all took off their shoes. It was terrible.
The trade-in value definitely went down after that.
Exactly. So what happens at the end? You said to him, you want to think about it. Have you got one complete system designed, the recommended system that they think that they would like, or are they leaving with multiple choices if they haven't decided? If they haven't signed yet.
When they leave, they have all the choices with them. We do have multiple systems in our office that are operating that they can touch, smell, feel, and really get an idea of what they would be getting with their new system.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic. That's got to help for them. So we kind of glossed over it a little bit. Is there anything else in the room that you think is really important in your sales room? We talked about the coffee machine, water, lack of clocks. Anything else?
I think a lot of it's just the comfort level that they have in the room. It's not in their own home, but we do try and make it as comfortable as possible because they are going to be there for a while.
Thanks for sharing that. That is really interesting and very unique. And I think it's so great. You know, I've had people come to our house, handwrite a quote and hand it to me, which I just found distasteful. And your approach is really great. So talk about your company a little bit more. What is the ultimate goal? Where do you want to take it? What do you ultimately want to do with it?
You know, we love what we do. I'm very fortunate that I get to work with my wife every day. We would like to continue to grow our business and provide better lives for all of our team members here. Our goal one day would be to sell. We're both young, so we have a road ahead of us, but it's just fun learning the game of business.
Yeah, it is. Now, do you have kids that might be interested in the business, or maybe they're already working in the business?
no, our kids have chosen another path. So they do not have interest at this time.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been in this business a long time, and I'll tell you that sometimes that changes. I can't tell you how many times a kid has said, yeah, no, I wanted nothing to do with dad's business. And then I went out into the corporate world. I went out on my own and I realized, man, that was a pretty good thing. I think I'd like to get back into that. So never say never.
Yeah, that's definitely the path I took. I love every day that I get to come to work with my team and just the people we get to meet. You'd think you'd know everybody in a small town, but you meet someone new every day.
It's a very satisfying thing. And at the end of the day, you've helped them out. You've made their lives better by what you do. It's a fantastic feeling.
It is.
So you recently joined ServiceNation Alliance. What has that done for you?
It has completely changed everything for us for the better. I wish I would have found ServiceNation 5 years ago. I don't think I was ready for it at the time, but the people are amazing. I recommend it to everybody.
It's a fantastic organization. The opportunity to learn and share with other people and have a kind of like having your own cheerleading section. It's a fantastic thing.
It is. And the way everyone's so willing to share. We're so fortunate to be blessed with our advisory board that we're in. And just everyone that we've come across has been great.
I'm glad it's working out well for you. Well, Ryan, this has been totally fascinating. I really appreciate you spending this time with me. Thank you so much and look forward to hearing about the growth of your company. I know there's going to be a lot in the future and I look forward to hearing about that.
Thank you.
Hi, this is David again. 3 quick notes. 1, if we provided any value today, would you please give us a good rating on whatever app you're listening on? It would help us a lot and help get our message to more people. 2, would you recommend us to a friend or colleague? Just as in your own business, personal recommendations are powerful. 3, we're always looking for great interviewees and topics. If you have an idea for us, if you know someone who should be interviewed, or if you would like to be interviewed, don't be modest. Just shoot an email to pip@newmediaempire.com. That's PIP, like Profiles in Prosperity, @newmediaempire.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening and thanks for your support.